An international summit on Wednesday will look at the regional influence Iran now has in the Middle East. That's one of the top stories in the coming days on the international stage. With me for a weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, let's start in Venezuela, where tomorrow another day of protest is scheduled as a political standoff continues. What's the latest from that country?
Well, that's right, Mark. So the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, has called yet another national protest against the government of President Nicolas Maduro tomorrow. Now, remember, last month, Maduro was sworn in for a second term in office following disputed elections last year, which many opposition leaders did not contest because they were in jail or simply boycotted them. So the opposition says those elections were rigged, a charge Maduro denies. Now, Mr. Guaido has declared himself interim president. He has the backing of numerous countries, including the US, but some other countries like Russia, Bolivia, for instance, in Latin America, continue to support the socialist President Maduro. Now, one element we're watching in all of this is which way the Venezuelan military goes. It holds the key. Right now, it's behind Maduro, but there are some in the military who have publicly switched sides. And by the way, many Venezuelan watchers will tell you the military has a lot to lose financially if it gives up on Maduro. Various clandestine deals make life profitable for some top brass. So the question is, will the military turn on him? That's one to watch.
And Rob, while the politics go on, some more immediate needs for residents of Venezuela, shortages of food and medicine continue. Does it seem as though there's any relief in sight for Venezuelans?
Well, it's difficult to see any. Millions of people have fled Venezuela, as you know. The country's suffering hyperinflation, other economic troubles. That renders food and medicine scarce. And since this crisis hit, Washington has announced sanctions on the oil industry, which, of course, is Venezuela's main earner. So little sign of things getting better. We've been hearing from some ordinary Venezuelans. Remember, that country's population of some 30 million. We've been asking them about their everyday lives.
It's an odyssey. You know what an odyssey is, right? It's an odyssey, everything. We don't have transport. We don't have food. We don't have electricity. We don't have gas. My house has been without gas for 2 months.
So, Mark, there has been an attempt, I should say, by Mr. Guaido to bring humanitarian aid into the country. But last week, the Maduro government blocked the main highway that would have let those goods in from neighboring Colombia. Why? Because Mr. Maduro calls this aid a Trojan horse. He maintains America is intent on illegally overthrowing his government and exploiting Venezuela's huge oil reserves.
All right, so that protest scheduled for tomorrow. The following day, Rob, on Wednesday, the U.S. will host an international summit looking at the regional influence Iran has in the Middle East, right?
Yes. Now, this conference is happening in Poland, of all places. It'll bring together countries from across the world. We're expecting Vice President Mike Pence to be there, for instance. Its focus, as you say, is on Iran's influence in the Middle East. It's being seen as part of President Trump's pressure campaign on Iran, which, of course, he sees as a malevolent actor in that region and beyond. Now, the conference itself has angered Iran. It summoned Poland's top diplomat in Tehran to complain and called off a Polish film festival there, too. In a tweet, Iran's foreign minister denounced the meeting as America's anti-Iran circus. So it's just the latest show of hostility between the U.S. and Iran this conference. I should just remind you, in recent times, Mr. Trump, of course, has withdrawn the U.S. from the international Iran deal. He restored U.S. sanctions on Iran, which Washington had lifted as part of that deal. Now, our reporter Martin Patience is today in neighboring Iraq. He says in the past 40 years since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the anniversary of which is this week, Iran has never been as influential as it is now, and that makes the U.S. and its allies very nervous. He says, ironically, the U.S. itself helped Iran.
The U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003 removed Iran's biggest adversary, Saddam Hussein. And Tehran's influence now stretches from here to Syria, all the way to the shores of the Mediterranean. When America talks about Iran's military reach in these countries, it's referring to Shia militias.
Martin Patience in Baghdad there, Mark. And by the way, if you're looking for evidence of Iran's influence in the region, look no further than Thursday of this week, a trilateral meeting in the Russian Black Sea resort of Sochi that will bring together Russia, Turkey and Iran to discuss the situation in Syria. There, Iran has considerable influence too. It's right behind President Assad, of course, who with continued Russian backing remains firmly in control in Damascus.
All right, Rob, finally this morning, the BBC will be covering this week a major science conference taking place later this week in Washington, right?
Yes, it's the American Association for the Advancement of Science, quite a mouthful. It's holding its annual meeting in Washington, D.C. This is a huge conference. It has more than 90 sessions per day. It has more than 1,000 delegates from all over the world, and therefore lots of international stories. Now, one of those that caught my eye is about ocean plastic. We've heard plenty recently about how damaging this is to the food chain, and that's led to attempts all over the world to restrict single-use plastics. But the session at this conference is about an unexpected secondary impact of all the plastic we toss into the ocean. It's a study of plastic debris from a tsunami that struck Japan, and how that plastic material washed up on the shores of North America with organisms on board. So this is not just about plastic, it's about how invasive species can use that plastic to travel the world. So whereas organic debris like wood can break down and sink, scientists have found that plastic, even very small amounts of plastic, cannot. And these bits of plastic can support life as they float across the ocean. So we'll be watching the details of that session and many others at the AAAS meeting this week in Washington, D.C.
All right. Lots of, as always, to keep our eyes on. That's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.